Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Thank you, Pastor Ron. I don't think I'll sing today, Pastor Ron, simply because I'm not in good voice today. I apologize for that. You know, I feel like I have so much to say to such a great congregation, and it feels like it's a small amount of time to get personal with you. So you got to understand that there'll be a lot of personal moments that'll come up throughout the message, but for time's sake, because they only give you so much here. okay. Oh, whatever. Anyway. There's so many little detours that I could take, and there's so many little stories I want to get into. I'd rather get straight into the Word. I do want to say that it is a privilege and an honor for me to be here. I don't like, as a local church pastor, I actually don't like to be away from my home church. I'm a pastor, but New York is coming home, and it feels like home. It is home, but I usually forget a lot of things until I actually land here. Like, you know, the cab ride was an adventure. I don't even want to talk about that. I don't even talk about that last night. But this morning, Pastor Ron, you know, God did deliver me, not from premarital sex or drugs or stuff, but violence was my sin of choice. And I'm telling you, on the walk here, I forgot that New Yorkers bump into you. You know, and they don't turn around and say, hey, buddy, is it okay? I'm sorry, you know, or something. And I got bumped a couple times, and I had to remember that I am an anointed preacher coming to preach. and they didn't even turn around, like to see if I was okay or say sorry, buddy, or nothing. And the second last thing is, you know, in New York, you know, you walk places or you catch cabs, you know. So I don't have my little OnStar in my car to, you know, help me out. And, you know, I'm trying to get here this morning, and I have a small little panic attack. I'm getting there. They say I'm here, but I'm not here. And I'm just, like, I don't want to call. That's embarrassing, you know, to have to call the pastor and say, can you come pick me up? You know where you at? I don't know. And only to look to my left, and I see Pastor Ron walking in with his two babies into the building because I was really here. So. I know. What a good guy he is. He shows up at the right times in my life. Okay. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I honor you and I thank you, Lord, and I pray that you will pour out your Spirit in a fresh way here. In fact, Lord, you showed me from the moment that I came in, I saw it over Pastor Ron's head. I saw a pitcher being poured out of refreshing. And you whispered to me, God, that just as he's refreshed others, just as he's poured into others, you are going to pour into him. And that what he has done over the past several years will pale in comparison to what you're going to do in these next several years, saith the Lord. For I am freshly pouring out on you empowerment, favor, and grace. And the same thing I'm pouring on you, saith the Lord, I am pouring upon this congregation. You shall move with one voice as one man, and you shall have a powerful impact on the city, not because you desire it, saith the Lord, because I have called it to be, saith God, and it shall be. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for all he's doing? Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, I pray that you would now think through my mind, speak through my mouth, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer, and every glad heart said amen. If you can turn into your Bibles to 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 15, he's going to put it up on the screen. There's 15 verses. We're going to read it together because I won't turn to a lot of text. I'll just quote a lot of text once I get into preaching and ministering to you. I'll give you 3 markers for those who are taking notes so that you could know exactly what you want to write down where. But I want to put this story into your spirit, and then I want to preach to you as the Lord leads me by the Spirit. So I'll say ready and read, and if we can all see, read it in unison with some power, some diction, some clarity, you know, in unison. ready, read. Stop. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. The story is very clear. There seems to be a spiritual leader that is so big, so great, and so impactful in his community that the guy he was mentoring, Elisha, had the privilege of actually having that anointing, that spirit, that calling, that smearing be on him to the degree that someone did not recognize him, but they recognized the anointing or the calling that was on his leader being on him. Today, I want to help this church understand that there was something profoundly unique about you that starts with a person. Sometimes we forget that God uses people. And when he calls out a person, he's also calling out a people. And the Bible says no one can be greater than the master, but everybody can be like the master. That's why your leader is an important person in your life. Because if your leader is not pursuing God at a certain level, if your leader doesn't have fruitfulness at a certain level, then it's difficult for you sometimes to believe that you can be fruitful at a certain level. But I got good news for you. You have a fruitful leader, and you have a dynamic call, and maybe you have limited your involvement in the call to just a participant. But I today want to encourage you that you are far more than a participant, and I'm going to give you a formula that throws you into a stratosphere with God in your own life that changes your trajectory forever. I am not trying to just be saying something to make you feel good today. I pray that I'm on an assignment to change your life. And this is not something you should forget that you can walk away from or just say, oh, that was good and I'm just going to live the same. No, not today. Today I'm on assignment for you. And there's three things you need to understand from this story. Is number one, in order to get the anointing that is on your leader, in order for Elisha to get what was on Elisha, he had to follow him. Now, sometimes when you call to follow people, the first thing we think about is why they're not worthy of being followed. They crazy, Lord. I can't follow nobody crazy. You know, you begin to see the characteristics and the things that you don't prefer more than the things that you do prefer when it begins to cost you something. Because we have to search for an excuse why we don't have to do any work, because following is work. And so if I don't like the circumstances or the things or the venue, I can somehow wait it out until the conditions are favorable, and then I'll follow. So the first point is you got to follow the leader in order to get the anointing, and God wants to give you an anointing. He wants to give you a spiritual endowment, a calling, actualized. Number two, you can't just follow the leader. You got to walk with the leader. And what do I mean by that? It cannot just be an organizational structure type of thing. It's got to become something greater. It has to become something so familiar, so personal, that you would feel like the person is family and that there's an inheritance that you're supposed to receive. When you walk with somebody, it starts to be like, what's going on with Baby James? And that's my son's name. And you know, your life intertwines with another life. And what seemed to be just positional becomes personal. I'm walking with you. I want to know who you are. I want to look in your eye. I want to know what you're feeling and what you're going through. I want to have an intimate relationship with you. And intimacy is not necessarily proximity. It's a desire to heart. It's a disposition as you walk with someone. Third, if all this goes well, I want to imitate the leader. If we don't imitate our leaders, what begins to happen is what progress you made generations before becomes lost. Because you don't know that the support beams or the ideologies or the spiritual philosophies that support the very environment, conditions, or circumstances that you're walking in now today. Something is being lost when we cannot imitate our leaders. When the enemy convinces us to find the narrowest flaw in their life as a reason to why we don't have to take the whole of their life. I'm going to help you understand in this message, this won't be about following people that are perfect, but following people who have a called assignment. And once you transcend the personal thing and you can understand the God part of it, man, it really helps you. So the spirit of Elijah was on Elisha. Who were these characters? Well, Elijah was a great prophet. He had done a great number of things. He had called fire from heaven. He called lightning from heaven. He caused there. He prayed to God for a drought. Then he prayed for rain. He prayed for a widow to be sustained. He prayed for the dead to be raised. He was a pretty powerful man. He's also the guy who went up against Jezebel's prophets. And he said, let the person who's really from God, let them answer by fire and burn up a sacrifice. And the other prophets could not do it. He was able to do it, and he kills all the prophets. But this great man, this great prophet, we see a great flaw in him from the very beginning. And he begins to run from the person who wants to have revenge or retaliation, which is Jezebel, against him. He finds himself in the desert, and he finds himself praying this prayer. I'm the only one. It's just me. I'm all alone. There's no one here. And he didn't want to eat. God had to supernaturally send food to him. He was what we would call today depressed. And he was in a lonely place, in a terrible place. That somehow, when it comes to being a leader, and you all are leaders, there's this false sense that you can't have frailty that comes on you. There's this false sense that if you're truly a believer, how could something like anxiety or how could it get to you? Now, it doesn't have to have victory over you, but it might visit you. And so this was a great man who also, within his greatness, you can see some of his weakness. And when his weakness came out, he began to say this. He said, I'm the only one. And the Lord showed up to him. He said, no, you're not the only one. I want you to anoint two kings, and I want you to anoint your replacement. It's so funny that when we're going through our life, sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on with us, we think we're the only one with the right perspective as a leader. We think we're the only one with the right disposition and the right demeanor. And then we realize in this very moment that God's calling, God's assignment does not begin and end with us. And he actually has other people waiting to say yes. Now, that's not meant to make someone feel bad. That's just meant to help us feel reality. Reality is God's got something that has to go forth in the world because he can't lie. And his desire is to use us. But God has a plan. God takes a man, and so here's the beginning of Elijah and Elisha's relationship. Elisha, which is the younger, the mentee, Elijah, who is the mentor or the senior prophet I've been talking about, he walks past him while he's just plowing a field. He has 12 yoke of oxen, which helps you understand his family is prosperous. He is leading the oxen, which lets you know he's the leader, or he's probably the son of the person. He's got a good plan going on in his life. You know, you got to think, let me project on the story some Lowisms. That's my last name is Low. Lowisms would be like my thoughts on the story. So this is the narrative of the Bible, but it is my commentary. I'm just letting you know. Elijah is showing up on God's probation list. Elisha has his life going in the direction that he wants it to go in, and he seems happy, fulfilling the needs of his parents, for prospering. And Elijah walks past him, takes his mantle off, which was a customary thing if you were going to call somebody into your service or let somebody know that they had an assignment with you. He throws it on Elisha while he's working in his planned trajectory in life, the one his parents asked for him, the one he asked for him. And all of a sudden, Elijah walks off. See, the only thing a leader can do is tell you what the plan is. He can tell you what the call is. He can set up the venue, and he can set up the circumstances for you to know where you're going and what you should do and how you should do it. But guess what? It is up to you to do the next step. And Elisha runs after Elijah and says, oh, I see what you're saying, that I'm called. But just wait a minute. I've got to do some stuff. And Elijah said to him, this not my business. This what you want to do. I wasn't going to pick you. The Lord told me in prayer to anoint my replacement. So I don't even know if I'm how I feel about it. But I'm under assignment. You see, when you are following, when you are in that moment where you're thinking about whether you're going to say yes to Jesus, the yes to Jesus is a total surrender. It involves 100% of everything you have is up for grabs. When you come to Jesus and you kind of siphon off portions of your life, say, Lord, I'll serve you as long as you don't take my dreams. Lord, I serve you as long as I can keep him, keep her, do this, do that. You see, he did something that I believe was miraculous. He goes back, and instead of thinking about what he could do if he didn't answer this call, he takes the very instruments. He takes his leadership, the leader of the thing. He takes his plow. And he takes the oxen, and the Bible says that he cuts it up and burns it in front of all his friends, and he serves it to them. Because he's saying that though I have a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot of options, and I'm already at the head of my class, and I'm already doing what my family wants me to do, because in a moment's notice, I got a leader, an anointed man from God, who told me that I had a higher calling. I'm going to burn the ships. I'm going to burn the old life that I had because I'm saying yes to a new life. And I don't trust myself because if I just leave it out there, say, y'all, I'm going to see how this Elijah thing work out. And if it don't work out good, I'm coming back home. I'm going to tear up my position because I'm so in. I'm going all the way. I'm not going at all. Jesus said when a man wanted to follow him, he said, look, foxes have holes. Birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Jesus said, you want to follow me? The guy said, well, let me go back and bury my daddy, which simply meant that he wanted to go live his life first, and then I'll get back to you, Jesus, and give you everything I have. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Seems insensitive, but God's purpose and preeminence should prevail over everything when you're following him. A man came to us before I was the senior pastor of the church, and I was in the middle of we're in the entertainment business, and I was in the middle of a multi-million dollar deal, a movie deal with a couple of the Detroit billionaires. We had already, the contracts had already been sent over. They're already in my lawyer's office. They're just waiting me to come down to the office and sign. I got a call the night before from all the people who was financing it. So it made me a millionaire, like, bam. And I just want to say praise God that I could have been a millionaire, but I'm not. Just because you think, is he a million? No, that story didn't end like he still got the millions. No, that didn't come. So I'm there, and the guy calls me and says, we want you not just to be the owner. We want you to be the owner, operator, and the CEO. And I said, well, I can do that. They said, but we want you to give up this church. I said, but I think I can do it both. He said, well, we'll let you do both, but why would you give up us reaching millions just to serve a few thousand? That's what he said to me. And boy, you know, that's when you're in that, James Lowe, you in a moment. You in a moment, because this is when you find out whether you love God or money. Because I don't think I love money more than God, but I love money. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, you love, you're just like, man, I want stuff. And that was my stuff opportunity. And so I called him back and I said, no. I said, not only can I give the church up, I can't do the deal with you. Because I perceive that I'll always be having to fight between what God wants me to do and what you want me to do. And I cannot give myself that liberty. I've got to cut this thing up and burn it, because it's going to put my calling into question. So when you follow Elisha, it may cost you something. You might have to overcome your parents' prediction or hope for your life. And maybe the brokenness of the relationships that you've had in your family structure may have altered your ability to respond well. Because I have broken relationship with my family, I can't get into it. My father's, and one of the parts of getting a part of this Every Nation family was just kind of reconnecting with that missing place in my life, the fathers. And you know what? God is using my calling to help do that. A story I like to tell, sitting in a meeting with Pastor Ron Lewis, and we was praying about it was just a leaders meeting, and I was sitting at the table with him, and he said, "Everybody who has a father wound, won't you raise your hand so we can pray for you?" Well, you know, I ain't raising my hand, because, you know, you just don't identify yourself in meetings. It's needy. I don't got no wound. Then Pastor Ron Lewis, as he would have for everybody else, kind of sitting next to me in his casual New York, you know, North Carolina kind of way. Hey, Pastor James, you got that wound, don't you? I said, hey, buddy, I'm not acknowledging that. So I don't know if I said yes or I just kind of shrugged or just grunted. But leaders don't wait for you to figure out and identify what you need. They just show up in your life. And then he just, all of a sudden, you know, I just noticed we had to hold hands and pray. And then he did that awkward thing you do when, you know, you're not supposed to do this with another man, but he did to me. He took his thumb. Gave me a little thumb rub. "It's okay, buddy." Little thumb. "It's okay. Papa baby will handle daddy." Okay, I'm sorry. But it reaffirmed for me that's somebody I can follow, because the person that God assigns for you to follow has an anointing, not to just see you make the difference in someone else's life, but to make a difference in your very life. And if you don't ignore what God is doing, the blessing or the hole in your life can be filled up by somebody you didn't even anticipate could do it. I didn't know someone that wasn't like me or just like me could lead me to a reservoir of refreshing, to an anointing, to a call. Thank you in the name of Jesus for identifying that God is doing something. Now, okay, so the second thing. It's not enough to just have jurisdictional leadership that you follow. I do that. You've got to walk with your leader. This is tough, because in walking with your leader, do you not understand that Elisha walked so close with Elisha that he was considered Elijah's aide? The guy who, here's how the scripture refers to him, the guy who washed Elijah's hands, the guy that put his clothes on him. I mean, he left prominence for seemingly obscurity, but he was serving. How do you know when you get that close to someone, whether they're your leader or whether they're personal or whether they're your spouse, you begin to see their flaws. You begin to see how they think when they're relaxed or how they feel. And can you imagine that Elisha was let in on a secret that Elijah suffered with depression off and on? But what do you do when you're transcending jurisdictional leadership, because you're just going to follow the leader, but now you're going to get something greater. You're going to get intimate and personal, where you get the opportunity to see the weaknesses and still take on and still honor and receive and take from the person the gift God has for you. And how do you know you're taking it? Because instead of walking away at the first sign of trouble, you keep walking with. You stay locked in there. Jesus told people
I don't even have time to get into what he said because that might throw you off. But Jesus said something pretty hard to some people. And the Bible says many of them walk with him no more. They say, he was doing some stuff. I got to leave on that now. Then he turned to his disciples. He said, are y'all going to leave too? He said, where can we go, Jesus? You have the words to eternal life. You have the words to my destiny. You have the words to my calling. You have the words to bring freedom. I'm not promising you because you walk in the way that God wants you to walk, or you walk with your leader, or you get closer and closer, that every day is going to be peachy king and every day is going to be easy and you're not going to experience something turbulent in your spirit or something that disturbs you. But I'm telling you that if you'll just keep on walking, if you'll just stick it out, if you'll just pick up your cross daily, and follow, there's a blessing in it. You think those disciples are sitting somewhere in heaven now mad that they followed Jesus to the end? No, they like, man, I made it. Hey, Pete, I know you was going to give up. We got you back in the boat, didn't we, Pete? You know, he's happy. When you're walking with somebody, you hang with them to the end. In the text that you read, when he was walking to Bethel and then to Gilgal, to Bethel, then to Jericho, in each place there was somebody there to tell him, you know your master's going to die. Why don't you stop and focus on your life, because his life is moving on. And every time Elijah, his mentor, said, man, you don't have to keep going with me. It gets to a point where it's beyond what the Lord wanted. It's beyond what the leader wanted. What do you want? Do you want to walk with me till the end? Because there were a lot of other prophets that could have taken the journey with Elijah on his farewell tour. It was a lot of other people who knew that God was going to take him up in a whirlwind. But instead of walking with Elijah, they just stood off at a distance and say, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to wait it out and see. As if they were spectators and observers instead of willing participants in what God was doing. But I said, no, I'm going to keep walking with you. And when you walk with a person long enough, you no longer start just witnessing miracles. You become a part of the miracle process. He begins to hit the waters. They walk across the Jordan on dry ground. And he turns to him and asks him the question that we hope every leader asks us one day, something personal. He said, look, what can I do for you? It's the first time that this is being asked. What can I do for you? He said, look. He said, I'm so impressed, not with your weaknesses, not just with your calling. I'm impressed with you as a man. He said, just ask God if he'll give me a double portion of your spirit. Let me get, I want to act like you. I want to talk like you. If I can, and I want a double portion, because what I'm really trying to say is I want to be considered your son. Because the only person that gets a double portion is the son. I want to walk so closely with you that there's no question that was my daddy. He said, man, you asking something hard. He said, but if you can see me when I'm taken, then you can have it. And all of a sudden, as I close, somebody said, hallelujah, he closed. This is my final point. It's an opportunity to imitate the leader. See, Elijah was taken, and he saw it. And the scripture says that the mantle fell. The sign of the calling, the assignment, the inheritance, all of the years. It was there. Isn't it funny that God called him when he spoke to Elijah in prayer and said, anoint him? But just being called is not enough. Just seeing what is available to you is not enough. See, seeing the anointing and possessing it are two different things. You can see what is on your leader. You can see what's coming off your leader. You can see all of the results, and you can see it, and you can just marvel at it and say, that was great, and he was great, but has nothing to do with me. But Elisha didn't just see it. He went over and picked it up. You know, but picking it up is not enough. Because when you pick it up, you put it on, say, whew, I knew this was going to be a good job. It come with a nice salary, a mule come with. You get a mule. I'm going to Elijah's house. Woo! I'm going to get his straw coat and his belt. Mm-hmm. See, just putting it on is your right. And it gives the appearance of significance, and it gives the appearance of power. Keep that clock running, because I just got to the end. I'm keeping a little extra. I want to keep it running so I know the time. Just a few more minutes. He could just keep it to himself. He could just be a person that looks the part, like a cloud without rain. I got on the right clothes, and I've got the right pedigree, and I've got all of the right assignments, and I picked it up, and I've got it on, but I'm still not all he asked me to be. Because the first thing that God gives Elisha in this moment is a problem. He says, are you going to use the mantle, use the calling in the same way you received it? And he had a choice in that moment. Do I just find a boat to get over to Jordan? Do I walk around the long way? Or do I act like God and my spiritual father were not liars? Do I act like it wasn't something that I possessed before, but when I picked this up by faith, see, I have faith that on that mantle was also a spiritual endowment. And this spiritual endowment placed on me gives me the right to call on not Elijah, but the God of Elijah. I called on the God of Elijah that raised the dead, that caused the drought, that called down fire. And he took the mantle and he hit the water and it came dry ground. I'm telling you that there is anointing and a calling on this church that did not come from man. It didn't come from Elijah. It doesn't come from Ron Lewis. It comes from the Lord Almighty. You are not here because you chose to be here. But there's one that chose you. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's anointed you to be in this place to carry an anointing, to reach the city, to change the world, to have an impact, to cause lost people to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he gives you all the power that you need to do it. Will you just see this? Or will you pick it up? Or will you use it? The Bible says in Hebrews, imitate your leaders, the ones who preach to you the word. God called me here to challenge you. I would pray in the spirit right now. I don't know the order and protocol, but I'm just going to stay here in this ministry moment. I give me pianist. What's the point of all this message? Because the Lord himself is bringing you as a church to a decision. Because the Lord decided to take the church someplace. It's not the leader. In fact, I don't know if we even had this conversation like this. Something the Lord has decided to do. First thing I turned to Pastor Ron and said, man, I'm jealous of this people. What an amazing assignment to be called to this city. What a great hope I feel for transformation because of this room. You know, when it comes to an anointing, it's never the significance of a man. In fact, the man's inferiority and weakness works to his favor to do the work of God. Because in your weakness, he's made strong. He just needs a people that'll say, I see it, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're asking of me. You're not just asking me to be a participant. You're asking me if I want to be a called son. anointed to carry the burden. That means whatever my leaders did, I can do. Elijah did double the miracles of Elijah. Double. There is greatness here. And there's not a front of the room for me to call you to, but I call you out. And I don't know if I'm going to just make you stand or I'm going to make you raise your hand. But just bow your head. Let me speak to your spirit for a moment. If Jesus Christ has been speaking to you this whole message, if the Holy Spirit has been knocking at the door of your heart, telling you that a little bit more is required, if he told you that, man, you're a difference maker, and for one brief moment, you had to overcome all your weaknesses to hear that God wants to use you in a mighty way. Yes, it's serving in your workplace. Yes, it's being a witness when you walk the streets. Yes, for some of you, it's calling you into full-time ministry. Yes, in this room, to campuses, to church plants, to mission work, to life group leading, to serve. You are being called up for a holy assignment. If beyond me, the man, you know that Jesus Christ is calling you somewhere in this house. He's calling you up. If you know he sent this word for you, I got to pray for you today, and I just want you to raise your hand on three. One, two, three. Get them up high. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that outpouring you showed me over Pastor Ron, the same outpouring I saw spill down into this church, that same unifying spirit, that same spirit of power and spirit of faith, the gift of faith will work in this church in a new and a fresh way, saith the Lord. Each of you will have an impartation of faith to be who you're called to be and to be who I need you to be. The faith that is on this man is the same faith that will be on you, saith the Lord. And the same moving of the Spirit that is on this man will be on you, saith the Lord. And I will bring a newness and a freshness to your life which you have not known. Turn from your dream. Turn to my call, saith the Lord. In doing this, you'll see a miraculous breakthrough in your life instantly, repeatedly, and constantly, saith the Lord. For it is me at work in you. It is me supernaturally stirring you up to cause you to overcome your weaknesses and be mighty in the earth, saith the Lord. This is the season. This is the time. This is the moment. Lord, I pray for each one here that which you've imparted will not be changed. They say yes to following you, the leader. They say yes to walking with you, the leader. They say yes to imitating you, the leader. And let the anointing that you promised that flows from the top all the way to the bottom, let the anointing you promised that says the works I do, you'll do and greater than these, let that be on the house and abide on the house now until the end. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that, won't you stop and just give God a hand clap of praise? God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.